Welcome to the summaries of the Living God. The home groups of St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, East Melbourne, are studying the Living God, a catechism published by St. Vladimir Seminary Press. Today's summary is of Chapter 2, From Despair to Hope, Job. Man, created in the image of God, to live eternally and to become like his Creator, came to know the fall and death. The gifts of God, intelligence, will, creativity, have been pulled from their original purpose and forced to serve evil. Love has become jealousy. The desire to improve oneself has become love of power and domination. The quest for eternal good things has become love of material possessions. But God does not abandon his creature. He raises up prophets through whom men might hear his word. As an example, he gives them faithful servants like Job, a perfect model of resistance to evil and patience in the face of trials. The story of Job shows us that evil, which never comes from God, can nevertheless offer an opportunity for God's servants to prove their faithfulness and the sincerity of their love for him. It is possible for us to triumph through patience, hope, perseverance in good, and victory over evil. That is why God permits trials which demonstrate and develop the good qualities of his servants, forge their character, and strengthen their love and faithfulness. The Christian understanding of the story of Job, of the just servant unjustly persecuted, offers us a glimpse of the coming of the suffering and victorious servant who will return humanity to its former beauty. Long ago in the land of Uz, there lived a man called Job, a righteous man who feared God and avoided evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God had also given him great wealth. One day, God brought together his angels, among them Satan, who had been walking upon the earth. God brought the zeal of his servant Job to Satan's attention. But Satan answered, a quote from Scripture, "Does Job fear God for naught? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself do not put forth your hand." Job chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Satan then returns to the earth. He destroys all of Job's possessions and even makes his children perish. But Job, despite his sorrow, does not sin and refuses to curse God. When Satan returns to God's presence, God reminds him of his failure. Now again, we go back to a scripture reading, this time from chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. "He still holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause." Then Satan answered the Lord, "But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life." Satan then returns to the earth and inflicts a terrible illness upon Job. At this, Job's wife exclaims, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job answers her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? During all these misfortunes, Job does not sin with his lips. Three of his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, learn of his afflictions and come to comfort him. Overwhelmed by his bodily and spiritual sufferings, Job curses the day he was born. Eliphaz declares that suffering is a result of sin against God. For his part, Bildad maintains that God does not reject a righteous man. And Job, who in his confusion feels crushed by an unjust divine will, begins to doubt the wisdom of God. Zophar then reminds him that he cannot possibly be irreproachable in the eyes of God. Despite everything, however, Job continues to proclaim his innocence, which he wants to defend before God himself. Overwhelmed, Job declares, "His archers surround me, he slashes open my kidneys and does not spare. Although there is no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure, where then is my hope?" But even in this total distress, Job still maintains a complete confidence in God. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then from my flesh shall I see God." The glorious resurrection of Christ opens the doors of the kingdom for us and allows us eternally to contemplate the Most High. Elihu, who has been present without uttering a word, now exclaims angrily, "Is not Job refusing to accept this trial as a call of the Almighty to convert his sinful and rebellious heart?" Before Job has time to answer him, the Lord himself speaks from the midst of a tempest, making his splendor and power resound. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." That's chapter 38, verses 2 to 4, and then 6 to 7. Dazzled by this theophany, Job recognizes the utter transcendence of God. He ceases to demand explanations from him. He comes to understand that the wisdom of the Lord can give meaning to suffering and death, a meaning which Job cannot grasp, but which Christ will reveal to us. After this trial, the Lord restored Job to his former condition, giving him again 7 sons and 3 daughters, and doubling the quantity of his material possessions. The story of Job serves to renew hope within us. Even though God's image in man has been spoiled by the sin of Adam and Eve, by the sin of Cain, and by the sins of each one of us, Job allows us to hope for the coming of one just and suffering, patient and triumphant, who will resist with courage and perseverance the assaults of the evil one and will triumph over him, thereby restoring in mankind the divine presence which had been lost through sin and re-establishing in us the divine image in the fullness of its beauty. Thank you for listening to this summary of the Living God. You can download these summaries from www.stnicholas.org.au. That's www.stnicholas.org.au. Look for the home groups link. Glory to God for all things.